Ryan was excused this evening. Dan's in Annapolis, huh? What are you doing in Annapolis, Dan?
I'm visiting my son and his family here. They had a baby back in January that we're going to bless here next week. But he's on a deployment. He actually on deployment at Andrews Air Force Base, but they live in Annapolis on the Naval Academy base. So we're on a military base here. It's kind of fun.
Okay, we're good. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone out. Let me get my agenda here. Do we have any visitors that I don't know of? Natalie, are your kids going to join us at 6:30? Is that the plan?
That is the plan. I spoke with them this afternoon.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started with our meeting. I'm Mary Lynn Arvey, and we're going over Zoom. We would like to note that we need to start recording. Are we recording?
We are recording, Mayor.
Okay, so we are recording?
Yes, we are.
Okay. I'd like to note that the Ryan Mumford is unable to be with us tonight. He sent us some of his comments in an email, and we can perhaps reference those as we go through the topics. The first item on our agenda is citizen comment. Are there any citizens that are out there? I don't see any in the participant list, but if there are, I invite you to unmute and start speaking, and I'll recognize you. Okay. So there being no citizen comment, the first item on our agenda is consideration of resolution 2020-25R, a resolution authorizing the sharing of CARES Act funds to the Davis Educational Foundation, the South Davis Recreation District, and the South Davis Fire District for COVID-related expenses. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. I'll ask Sherry to share the screen.
I don't have approval yet to share.
No, you don't.
It's disabled. Linda needs to add me or something.
I've got a couple of slides on this. While that's being done, the city council was provided with some information about this item. We have three agencies that we are proposing to share these funds with. I've been working with the, you can go to the next slide, please. I've been working with the South Davis Rec District and the South Davis Metro Fire District for some time, together with the other cities that we share with those districts. And these numbers that you see as proposed participation rates are what has come out of those discussions with the other communities and with the other four cities. The distribution has really been based on population. And so we have the second largest population in the district. And so Bountiful City is paying more than we are. And I believe that you were provided with that information. Let me share with you some information about the Davis Education Foundation. That's a new proposal. We were approached by the Davis Education Foundation, which is the fundraising arm of the Davis School District, with a request for some assistance, and they've asked this of all the other cities in the district. They have a tremendous need, they believe, coming on the horizon because of the way that they are attending school, that is their kids are attending school, where approximately three-fifths of the time they are going to be at home. they see a child care need in their district, and they've had that expressed by their patrons, the parents of the district, and so they approached us with the idea that for low and moderate income populations within North Salt Lake who have a need to provide childcare due to those restrictions, and they are related to COVID-19 and how we're altering the way we educate in public schools, they came to us and said, we think we have about 500 students in North Salt Lake that would qualify for some assistance for childcare costs, and that would also, they think, qualify for LMI assistance. And so they made the request for $50,000. And as I explained in the memorandum, their program would give a $200 grant to a family that qualifies, or the family of a student who qualifies, and that would be per month. And so they think that they can spend this money on childcare within North Salt Lake. I tried to be comprehensive in my staff report to you. I asked the foundation several questions about the program. The one thing I would say that's new since the packet went out is I originally thought that the foundation was going to prepare the MOU for which would set out the agreement and the provisions under which we'd do this program. As it turns out, they reached out to me and said, no, we'd rather have your attorney have the city prepare the MOU. And so I asked David Church to do that, which he did. And I sent that around to you about an hour and a half ago. And I'm sorry that it wasn't sooner. We just were not able to react that quickly. So I can go over some of the highlights of the MOU for you. The most important parts of what I sent you an hour and a half ago is that the MOU requires the foundation to follow the CARES Act provisions. So as they distribute funds, there's a specific requirement that they will follow not only the CARES Act, but they will comply with all the federal requirements that are needed when you spend federal dollars. And so I thought that was a good provision that David Church put in there. It also specifically addresses the idea that if they intentionally misuse the funds or use the funds for other purposes other than those allowed, that they will have to return the funds. I'm certain that they won't try to do that, but they might even be well-meaning but intentional, and we could find that ourselves in that situation. So I was appreciative of that requirement as well. It has a process for returning unspent funds to us, which they don't believe they will do. And then finally, the MOU indemnifies the city from any performance failures on the part of the district the foundation. So that's I think that's a good use of a portion of our CARES Act funds. I think, we haven't adopted a policy or anything, but I think as I've talked to council members and as we've talked as a group, I think one of the best things about the foundation's proposal is that it distributes some of our funding directly back to some residents who need the money. And so in that sense, it's a little bit different than the majority of how we'll use our CARES Act money. And so in a similar way that we assisted small businesses in the city to the tune of about $800,000, $308,000 of our own money and $500,000 from the county, I think that was a great use of funds. And I think this is also a very good use of those funds. I've gone over the rules and the regulations published by the Treasury. I wish they were more specific, but these activities of paying for childcare related to COVID-19 and for LMI seem to be allowed. They're not precisely allowed, but they seem to be in that catch-all umbrella of assisting those who have COVID-19 related costs. And so I feel comfortable with this proposal. Let's go to the next slide, Sherry, please.
Can I ask a question here?
Please.
It just seems a little counterintuitive to me that we would take children out of schools where they're exposed to the same people day in and day out, and then put them in daycare where they're exposed to maybe a whole new group of people. It seems like to me that they'd be better off just being in school, but I guess that ship already sailed.
So I talked to the foundation about that, and I think that the intention here is not, it's not formal daycare. It's my understanding these kids will be at their homes, and it's to cover the costs of someone coming to the home, a guardian to come into the home and pay those costs, like a babysitter, because they will be still in school. So that's a great question, and it's one that I had that discussion with the foundation's representatives. They're not intending to just put kids into daycare. That now I can't promise that won't happen because I'm not going to be administering the program.
Well, there's nowhere near the capacity for it. I mean, I think about this, and I mean, I wonder the same thing that Brian does. There's not capacity for it, and so we're going to pay parents to leave their kids at home unattended, which is probably what's going to happen. I mean, how are they going to check to make sure somebody's actually showing up to be with these kids?
Yeah, so...
And who is that actually supposed to be?
Sure. No, that's a great question. And one thing I should have mentioned in the MOU, there is also a requirement for them to provide to us the program details and the program requirements. And so the application, together with... all of the provisions that they're going to use to distribute the funds has to be approved by us. And so they're going to do that with us, and we'll make sure that they're going to have to verify that those are actually real costs to real providers of service. It won't just be that we're giving someone $200 for no reason. So they're going to have receipts, or they're going to have they're going to pay someone in order to get this money. So that's the idea. This slide that's on your screen kind of shows you where we are to date. We did get the second tranche of funds. So we actually have this money. We've already distributed, and you see on this slide, the $308,000 that I referenced before to Davis County for the Small Business Grant Program. And then I'm showing these other three distributions, which leaves just a little bit less than $800,000 remaining for our public safety payroll costs.
Didn't we have some other costs as well? I mean, computers and whatnot?
We have had some costs, and could attribute some of this money to those costs, but we haven't had very many. So we may do that still, Mayor. The advice that I'm getting from others, including the state auditor, is that the fewer transactions we have, the more likely it is that we will survive an audit of these funds and how we use them, and the easier it will be on auditors. And so their advice is to not have a lot of transactions. But in any case, we can, if we have some computer costs, we can use this for that, but we don't have very much. Good question. You know, and if and so, finally, what I would say is that I told the Davis Education Foundation that if we needed more time, if you needed more, if you needed 2 more weeks to consider this, or you have additional questions, I told them there was a possibility we wouldn't pass this on the first consideration tonight. If you'd like to spend a little more time on, I know it's a little bit unusual as a request, but if you want, if the council wants to know the program details, similar to Brian, similar to Brian Horak's question, if you want to know those before you approve this, I would support that. If you want to do the approval of that person. But that's all I had, Mayor, for the...
Okay, thanks. Are there any other questions or comments? And I feel like an over-denying...
Mayor, this. I have my hand raised. Sorry.
Natalie, sorry. I didn't see it. Sorry.
I think this is great. I think that this pandemic has really been the most difficult for working moms and for their families. So I support this. Ken, thank you for putting this together and bringing it to us. Thank you very much.
Okay, are there other comments or questions? Is there a motion? And this would be with the new resolution that was sent out. Is that right, Ken? It's still numbered the same, resolution 2020-25R?
The resolution we sent out a few minutes ago is for the next item. So okay. The resolution in the packet is correct. Okay.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that the council approve resolution 2020-25R, a resolution authorizing the city sharing of a portion of its CARES Act funds with the Davis Education Foundation, the South Davis Recreation District, and the South Davis Metro Fire District.
I'll second that.
Okay, so motion by Brian Horak, seconded by Natalie Gordon. Any further discussion? Let's just do a roll call vote. I'll call your name and you can just say aye or nay. Natalie?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Okay, so that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of resolution 2020-24R, resolution amending resolution 0311, that provided for the city to convene and conduct electronic meetings. Ken?
Thank you, Mayor. This is a very interesting item that's also related to the way that we do business now. And I believe the legislature has tried in their special session, they adopted a bill that amended the Open and Public Meetings Act. And so as a result, they have added a requirement related to electronic meetings. And I'll try to put this as simply as possible. We've put together provisions in this resolution, which we believe are required by the new bill. The only change that I think affects us is that we should designate City Hall for all of our public meetings as the anchor location for those meetings. And then we can continue to carry out meetings in any format that we wish. We can have meetings, we can continue to hold meetings the way we're holding them tonight and the way we've been doing them. We have staff here at City Hall tonight. There are several of us in the building. And the only change we would need to make is that we would move to the council chambers and open the doors and allow the public to come in and participate in the meeting. So, and if some of the elected officials wanted to participate at the anchor location, you could do that. And if some of you wanted to not come but participate electronically, we could continue to do that. So that's, I think, the simplest approach. And this resolution allows us to do that. Another option that was in your materials that we sent out is that if we determine that it's not safe to have an anchor location, we can also make that declaration, and we can have the mayor sign a written statement to that effect, and he would read that statement at the beginning of our meetings. And that declaration would be good for 30 days. And it's a bit inconvenient, but if we feel strongly about that, we can continue to meet without designating the anchor location and just continue to do what we're doing. So that's really the heart of the new provisions in the public. There weren't any other changes. There were some minor noticing changes. As I read the bill. But we're in compliance with those. We're also in compliance with every attempt we've made in these electronic meetings to allow the public to participate. I think it's a great thing that we've continued to do that, because I think we're squarely in compliance. We've been in compliance with the state Open and Public Meetings Act as we've done these meetings. So, the resolution that we sent that had a revision, the revision was that instead of amending a resolution from the year 2003, we just thought it would be easier to repeal that resolution and adopt a new resolution, which is the 2020 resolution. So this will be our new resolution governing how we conduct these meetings. So that's what that change was about.
Okay. It's still the same resolution number?
2020-24R, yes.
Okay. Thoughts from the council? I think that's fine. Is there a motion? And then I guess the way this would work is if people decided they wanted to start showing up to council meeting, they could show up in person, or they could. Now, a lot of times I've seen when this happens and you have people show up at the meeting, you really can't hear them when they're making comments. Are we set up and equipped so that if somebody shows up there, that they can actually have microphones in front of them and be heard?
We're actually working on a technological solution that would include a camera system and a microphone system that would tie into the sound system of the meeting and the Zoom meeting. So we have a couple of groups that are helping us. We're going to meet with one of them this week, and so we hope to have that solved. Yes. My personal opinion is that the Zoom format is working really, really well for people who wish to participate. But if they come to City Hall, we are hoping that we'll have the technology to solve that problem there.
Okay. All right. Any further questions, or is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Mayor. I move that the City Council approve resolution 2020-24R, and at the same time repeal resolution 03-11R to provide the city to convene and conduct electronic meetings in accordance with Utah Code 52-4-207.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so I have a motion by Natalie Gordon, seconded by Sam Porter. Any further discussion? All in favor, Natalie?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
So that motion passed unanimously. The next item on the agenda is consideration of a bid award for Deer Hollow Pump Building Landscaping Project in the amount of $62,503 to start landscaping, Paul.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, there we are. Okay, at the last city council meeting, when I was going over my report, I went over some of our upcoming projects, and I did discuss this one. I'll just kind of reiterate. What we are doing now is we're going to be removing all the landscaping that's out there now at the Deer Hollow Pump Building. We had hoped to get this on when we bid out the original project, but due to constraints of time, we decided to wait. Now we're going out for bid, but it's coming under the same budget. We will be removing all the old sod there. The whole sprinkler system is in terrible shape. A lot of leaks, leaky valves and heads. And also the area to the west of the tank where it says new sod, that's a really steep area. We're gonna, by moving the retaining wall, which is leaning also, by moving that up against the sidewalk, we'll be able to flatten that slope so it makes it safer for the lawnmowers. We'll be also putting in a whole new sprinkler system and also adding trees and some bushes. We did have the bid opening last week. Sherry, next slide. And we got three bids. And the low bid was Star Landscaping for $62,503. Star Landscaping is here in our town. They're an excellent firm. We've used them on previous projects and they do a fantastic job. As far as the budget goes, we had a few overages on some other areas of the pump building. With this $62,000, we figure we're gonna be maybe about $22,000 over budget. So we will, when the project is over, if it gets approved, we would like to come back with the budget adjustment to take care of that. Are there any questions?
Okay, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the bid for Star Landscaping for landscaping of the pump house on Eagle Drive or whatever it is.
I'll second the motion.
Okay, motion by Stan Porter, seconded by Brian Horrocks. Any further discussion? All in favor, Natalie?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
So that motion passed unanimously. At 6:27, Natalie, and I'm looking for your kids. I don't see them as participants yet.
I don't see them either. They were just getting home from the first Youth City Council meeting of the year, which was held today at 5 at Hatch Park. I'm sure that we'll see them in the next couple of minutes. I don't know what to recommend.
Okay. Allie, I'm going to turn some time over to you. If we see the kids show up on here, I'll try and watch, and if others can watch too. And when they're on, maybe we can interrupt you, Allie. And I guess it's Sherry that's doing this. We may interrupt you, Sherry, on adopting the town center project when we find the plan. Okay. So Sherry, let's turn some time over to you.
I'm going to let Allie, you were correct, I'm going to let her update this status and then Mark with the, sorry, I can't think of the name right now. Anyway, our consultant will be, Voda, will be giving some input as well. So I'll turn some time over to Allie. And I'm watching the waiting room for the kids to log in. So okay. I'll let them as soon as they can.
Okay. So this is the third or fourth time I think you guys have seen this. This is just the town center branding and wayfinding project. We think we're at the point where it's ready for adoption. There's just a few things that we need some decisions made by you guys. The consultant got some feedback in May and July from the city council. And some changes have been made based off of the feedback that you guys gave, but there were two council members, Natalie and Lisa, who had some concerns regarding the gateway sign type. So city staff, along with the consultant, have met several times with those two council members to try to get that sign to a point that they were comfortable with. Not only will we have you be voting on adoption of the entire sign package, but also deciding which of those gateway signs the entire council approves of. So this first slide is, it just shows approximately where we think the signs will be located. There are several different sign types. There's the gateway sign, which is at the entrances to the town center. Trail signs, which are obviously along the trails, just wayfinding signage for those. Auto signs, which are larger signs that are auto-oriented. You can see from your car, and they're basically just directional signs. So they have like three locations that that you can see the directions of how to get there in the town center. And then a map sign, which is pretty self-explanatory. It's just a sign with a map. And the pedestrian signs, sorry. Those ones will just be throughout the town center, giving directions to different locations in the town center and also having some history on one side of the sign. Sherry, if you can go to the next slide. This says our colors for the town center. Signage. So this is kind of just the branding package. So this is the color scheme that we had decided on as staff. Go to the next one, Sherry. This is the gateway sign that I mentioned earlier. And we've gone through several iterations of this sign to try to get one that makes sense. I don't want to speak for Lisa and Natalie, but Lisa was most comfortable with 7, 8, and 9, variation 7, 8, and 9. City staff, let's see, city staff does not recommend variations 3 through 6. So we're comfortable with 1, 2, 7, 8, and 9. And the different color schemes on 7, 8, and 9 are that it's all within our color palette, but we thought that maybe we could use those in different locations. So there will be one location on Center Street and I-15 as you enter from the west. There will be another on Center Street and Orchard Drive as you enter from the east, and then on either end of the town center on Highway 89. So we could do different colors for different areas of the city if that's something you're interested in. So we wanted to get some input from the rest of the council to see which of these gateway signs you all prefer. And I don't know if you want to discuss that now or if you want me to continue with the presentation and then discuss it after.
Allie, I have a question. I don't see numbers on these. Are you talking, when you say 7, 8, and 9, are those the ones on the right, the far right?
Yes. It's really small, but on the bottom of the signs, you can see it says variation 1, variation 2.
Sorry. Okay. I do see them.
Quite small, but they're just in numerical order.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, we're here now. How many more of these decisions are we going to have to make, Ellie?
So this one is the only like particular sign that you would have to decide on. The rest is kind of just deciding on the entire package, unless you have specific recommendations for any of the other signs. There was one more small thing that staff had regarding the banner signs, which are the last ones in the presentation. But we wanted to get this discussion, up front because it was important to two of the council members.
So 7, 8, 9, as I'm looking at them, I don't see any difference other than color. Is that right?
You don't see what?
Any difference other than the color?
Right, correct.
Okay. And you say staff, nobody liked 1 and 2?
No, city staff liked 1 and 2. City staff did not like 3, 4, 5, or 6.
Okay.
Mayor, I'll just say I'm fine with 7, 8, 9. Reminds me of a joke. Why was 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. But yeah, 7, 8, 9, they seem fine to me. If that's if Lisa and Natalie feel strongly about that, I would support that.
Anybody else have any comments?
Me too. I'd say the same thing Brian did. 7, 8, 9 look fine to me.
Okay. Any preference on color, or would we do with, we have 3 signs and can put different colors in different places? Allie, is that what you said?
Yeah, you could do all 3 of those colors, or you could just stick with the aqua color or any of the other colors if you prefer a certain color.
Does anybody, or you can just instruct city color?
Staff to do a variety of colors.
I think as the staff we like the color on number 7, which is most consistent, I think, with the theme.
Any other comments?
I just want to thank Allie and the team for talking us through this and bringing us more options. I think that 7, 8, and 9 are great, and I appreciate their willingness to answer my questions and work with us.
Do we want multiple colors, or do we stick with the aqua?
You know, the multiple colors is great if we want to put them in different places, but if not, I like the blue color the best.
That's number 7, right? Okay. Any other comments on it?
Just thank you for your attention to this. And appreciate that 7, 8, and 9 looks acceptable to me for sure. My preference would be to have a variation in colors, just so it doesn't look like we're doing, it's kind of a blue and white, seems like a school color, even though it's aqua, that's all. But I appreciate it, thank you.
All right, let's go ahead, Allie, unless you feel you need more clarification. Sounds like there's no strong feelings on it.
Yeah, are we doing a variation of colors or just the aqua?
I think that's what I heard.
Variation? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Sherry, if you can move to the next slide, please. That's just kind of how the sign, of course, it's not going to be that design, but how the sign may look in the real world. We'll probably have some plantings down along the bottom. Sherry, go ahead to the next one. This is the pedestrian sign. So this will be along the sidewalk areas throughout the town center. And it has directional signage, but it also has, like, if we want to put some history of the city or history of areas in the town center, we can put those there. Those are just some examples.
Ellie, just so I understand, are we just approving the basic plan tonight, and then when I'm assuming all these aren't going to go in right away, we don't know how much it'll cost and when we're going to be ready to put them in, or are there plans to put these in the immediate future?
Sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you, but I think you asked if we're approving this and then approving like the fabrication later.
We're approving the basic plan. And then the next question is, are we planning on putting this in the immediate future, or will the installation of these signs be something that happens over the next few years?
I think the installation will happen over the next few years as the town center develops. Right now, we don't have a lot of locations to point to, but as we develop our trail system and things like that, we'll start putting the signs in. So this is just the adoption of the design package. So okay. after you approve it, then the consultant will get to me a fabrication package so that I could just send it off to the sign company as soon as we're ready to install the sign.
Okay. And so this will go through time, and I don't think we have anything approved in the budget for this either.
Right. Won't see anything.
We'll have another look at this as we approve the budget, budgets to install all of these. Is that correct?
Yeah, you'd see it in the budget or in grant applications. I'm sure we can find a grant application to install as well.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sorry. Can I ask a question, Mayor?
Yeah, Stan.
As far as like the pictures go and the history and stuff, are we going to be able to consult on that or talk about that?
Yes. Yeah, we can customize that. This is just a basic idea of what could go on those panels.
It looks like that picture you have of Al's gas station would be great right in our town center, since it was right on the corner of Center Street and Highway 89. It was on the, that gas station down here existed on Center Street. It was on the northwest corner of that intersection where the, across from the city lot, but that was where that gas station was. I think that'd be most appropriate to put things that were close by.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea to put like what used to be in that location.
Yeah.
So, Mayor, if you don't mind, I see this as potentially these signs being installed incrementally. It may be as early as next budget cycle that we might want to look at putting in the entry monument signs at the entry town entry areas where people come into the town center, identifying North Salt Lake. And then we already have some of our new light poles up with the ability to have banners in the town center. So I'm sure Allie's going to talk about that, but it may be that we want to do some of these sooner. And I agree that until we maybe have more destinations, it might be a little early for the street level directional signage and pedestrian signage, but we will get there on those too.
Okay,
so this slide was just kind of showing the basic idea of what the panels might look like on the pedestrian signs, and just more of the design package. Go ahead to the next one, Sherry. The auto-oriented signs are really basic, and so those ones will be once we have more destinations. So, but they really want to limit it to, the consultant had talked about limiting it to just three destinations because of the speed of traffic on Highway 89 and elsewhere in the town center, that it's best to minimize that. And so these will be some of the last signs to go in, I think, along with the pedestrian signs. Go ahead to the next one, Sherry. These are the trail wayfinding signs. So these will be along like the Bamberger Trail and the I-15 trail that's west of like the Point at Northridge Apartments and City's Edge. So these have the distance to destinations. And I think they are in time distances. So it's a 2-minute walk to get to Hatch Park or whatever it may be. And then on the other side of the sign would be a map showing the trail system in the town center. Go ahead to the next one. And that's just an example of what the map may look like. Go to the next. Oh, sorry, that was the map sign. Can you go back, Sherry? Sorry. So that was the map sign. So those ones will be kind of a board that you can look at and find your way around the town center. So that's just an example of how simple that map may be. And that's pedestrian oriented as well. Go ahead to the next one, Sherry. These are some examples of the banner signs. We have two slides showing the banner signs. City staff is good with all of these. On the second slide here, city staff does not recommend the stacked vertical letters, which are the far right ones. So we would ask if you agree to remove those from the design package as well. If the consultant has any more to add, or if you have any questions, we are available.
Allie, this is Mark with VOTA. We appreciate your time in looking at all of these. I think to echo Ken's thoughts, I think incremental installation, this package, you know, as budget allows, you can kind of flesh out the various locations. I think the gateway signage would certainly be kind of a big impact to start with. The banner signs obviously would probably be the easiest and the least expensive to start with, and then kind of work your way down the list of various sign types.
Are there any other comments here?
Mayor, I know that the designer doesn't like the last three signs, but I love them. So I would prefer to leave them in as part of the choices. That's just me.
Okay, is this something that we'll leave it up to the developers to put in? Is this something we will put in? Something we'll rotate through? How do these signs work? Because they're just cloth, it looks like, or are they something else?
They're usually, I think, a vinyl type of, sometimes they have like marine type fabric. And our light poles are fitted to have these on them. It's probably gonna be, I would imagine it would be city funded, and we could also create banners that would have like city events advertised on them. But in the town center, these would be up all the time unless we have events. And so it's most likely gonna be the city funding the banners, I believe.
And Allie, there could also be holiday banners. So we might have some that were themed around Christmas, or ones that were themed around our 3rd of July celebration, assuming we get to have those again someday. Mm-hmm. Lisa's muted.
Okay. Is there going to be a long discussion on this? It looks like we have all of our youth here now. Is there much discussion on this, or is there a motion to approve the town center branding and wayfinding plan?
Mayor, I guess I just have a question. There was some discussion about removing the three on the right, and then Natalie wanted to put them back in. Do we have any other thoughts about that?
I'm just so artistically inhibited. I'm no help at all on this. My thoughts are is that as we actually decide to purchase these, at that point in time we can finalize them, or do we need to finalize the actual signs today?
I guess there's no harm in having them all in the plan, and then at some point when we go to purchase them, we can evaluate what we want and what we don't want.
Yeah, I envision that these are so visible that the council will want to have input before we install these in the town center. So I agree that there's no harm leaving them in the design plan. And then we'll make individual decisions. We may want to alternate years or something.
Let's do this. Natalie, it sounds like we might have a little more discussion on this, but we have our youth council on the line now. And so can I turn some time over to you, and you can introduce us to, what do we have, a mayor and a city manager?
Yes.
We're going to swear.
Thank you, Mayor. So this year, the Youth Council has decided to go with meeting every other week and having just a few leaders to start with. And then if more are needed, then having more chosen. But we are just grateful to have such a wonderful mayor and city manager. I also want to recognize that the Tobins are online as well, and they're doing a fabulous job. So I'd like to introduce you to our Youth Council Mayor, Houston Negley. He is a junior at Woods Cross, And he is enthusiastic and did a fabulous job leading the meeting today with a lot of kids there. We had a lot of youth at the meeting today. And also our new city manager, Sam Wang, who is in 11th grade at Bountiful High School. So it's nice that we're spread out. And they're doing a great job so far, and we look forward to continuing to work with them.
Okay. So this will be a little bit interesting as we try and swear you in over Zoom. I've never done this before, and I'm assuming it's okay. First off, I want to thank you for your willingness to serve, and you guys provide great service to our cities. But I need to make sure that you are both unmuted if you are on the line. I see Houston, I don't see Sam.
I'm sorry, I have a different name underneath.
Okay. That's okay, you're forgiven. Are you, and Houston's unmuted too. Okay, so repeat after me, and we'll have to, you know what, we're probably gonna have to do this one at a time. So, Houston, you're the mayor, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so repeat after me.
All right.
I, Houston Nagel.
I, Houston Nagley.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties.
That I will discharge the duties.
Of my office.
Of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Okay. Congratulations. And I'm sorry I mispronounced your last name. That never happens
to me. Oh, you're fine. So, thank you so much.
Anyway. Okay. Sam.
Yes.
You're there. And is what was your last name again? Wang?
Wang. Yes.
Okay, so I, Sam Wang.
I, Sam Wang.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
That I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And the Constitution of the State of Utah.
And that I will discharge the duties.
And I will discharge the duties.
Of my office.
Of my office.
With fidelity.
With fidelity.
Congratulations, both of you two. I'm sure you'll make wonderful leaders. Welcome to the leadership. Thank you for all you've done in the past and all you'll do over the next year.
Thank you so much.
I'm sure it'll be a little bit challenging, but I still think you'll have fun and be able to contribute a lot to our city. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And since we can't shake hands with the council, everybody wave. And thanks. Okay, so let's go ahead and if we can, and you guys can stick on the line if you'd like, or you're welcome to disconnect. So Allie or Sherry, who's gonna, do we have any other questions on this? Is there anything else we need to look at, Allie?
Nope. Does the council, yeah, so I guess the council just needs to make a decision on the banners, the gateway sign, which it sounds like you already did, and then the entire package.
Okay. I'm open to any suggestions if we want to go ahead and do something now, or we can leave all six of these in the package and decide as we go through time and do different signs in different places if there's a desire to do so. Any preference?
Mayor?
Yeah.
Perhaps you might want to hear from the consultant as to why he's not recommending the stacked letters, and that might help everyone make a decision.
Okay. Is it Matt? Is that right?
Mark.
Mark. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't say I dislike the vertical. Most typefaces are designed to be consistent in height rather than width. And so generally that's why you see things turned like that third banner sign where you've got the letters running you know, kind of 90 degrees. That being said, I think that you could certainly leave these in the vertically stacked letters. With banner signs like these, you know, they don't last forever. And so if you decide, you know, you've had the same banners up for 2 or 3 years and you want to change them, you can always swap those out. So I think I would probably lean more towards, you know, leave in more options that you can kind of return to over time. But yeah, I'd say when in doubt, leave them in, and you can always choose from those when you're replacing those banner signs.
And that'll refresh things a little bit and maybe create a little more excitement as we change sign types. So.
Yeah, I think that just, you know, like anything, you know, it's like you buy a sofa and you love it, and over time you get, you know, tired of it and want to try something new. So I think having more options in there that you can choose from is certainly a good way to go.
Okay, super. Okay, is there further discussion on this, or is there a motion?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve the sign package as presented, but only with Wayfarer signs. Is that what they're called? 7, 8, and 9.
Gateway signs.
7, 8, and 9.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion, Mayor.
Okay, so motion by Natalie Gordon, second by Stan Porter. All in favor, Natalie?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Lisa? Lisa?
Aye.
Okay, thanks. So that passed unanimously. So Mark and Allie, thank you so much for your work on this, and I hope you have the direction that you need.
Thanks,
man. So we appreciate it, and it looks exciting. So the next item on the agenda is consideration of resolution 2020-27R, a resolution requesting the Wasatch Front Regional Council update the regional transportation plan to include the city's recently adopted active transportation plan. Sherry?
Yes, so we are excited to bring this to you. Earlier this year, if you'll remember, you adopted the NSL Active Transportation Plan, and that was put into our general plan so that we would qualify for certain transportation funds throughout the year. So these are the projects that were approved in the Active Transportation Plan. And they are categorized as in four different statuses. Phase one would be construction expected between 2019 and 2030. Phase two between 2031 and 40. And phase three, 2041 and 50. And then in the yellow is the unfunded projects. So this is just an overview of what we have already in our plan. If you will, what is before you tonight is that every so often Wasatch Front Regional Council updates their regional transportation plan. And in order for any of our projects, should we wish to seek grants or seek additional funding for them in the future to be eligible, they need to be part of the Wasatch Front Regional Transportation Plan. So this is just a look at their plan. This shows you their map on the right. And those colors of the phasing, those are the same phasing that I just mentioned on our schedule of projects. In the actual text of the Wasatch Front Regional Plan, I wanted to just show you, for example, these are all of the projects in Davis County. So this is about 4 sheets in the plan. And then each county has this many sheets and this many projects. So we're just adding our projects to the long list of projects on the regional transportation plan for eligibility reasons for future funding. So we're asking for adoption of this resolution to request the Wasatch Front Regional Council to update their plan to include our active transportation plan.
Can you just go back to the phasing on that? Are we sending them our phasing too, or are we just sending them our projects?
Yes, they require us to show them the phasing that is in our active transportation plan. So this is
Sherry.
Essentially that. Yes.
Sorry, can I just jump in there? The phasing was not in the active transportation plan. So what needs to be adopted tonight is you need to approve this phasing schedule, which city staff, the development review committee, put together. So this is our recommendation for phasing based on cost, right-of-way needs, connectivity, development opportunities, and then there was a preliminary staff prioritization in the active transportation plan.
So we are sending them our phasing recommendations, or
yes,
we're not?
They're asking for the phasing recommendations, yes, and cost estimates.
So when we have the overpass, okay, so the Main Street is just Main Street, Highway 89 to 1100 North, so that's that won't be anything, okay. Because we really can't get funding on anything that's not in phase one. Is there anything that we would expect to try and get funding on that's not in phase one?
We don't think, we're not estimating that there is, but.
Okay, and this is going in, they're just doing a 2021-2026 update right now, and that's what we're trying to get this into, is
correct.
That right?
Yes, correct.
Is this what we've had in the plan before?
So we have all these projects in the plan. We've just, staff has worked with our city engineer and come up with a schedule of the projects that we think and the time frame that they would be in.
And these are the same phasing that they have?
Yes.
Are all of Sherry. These on the existing plan?
They're yes. in our plan, yes.
I'm sorry?
They're in our plan, yes.
Are they on the existing plan with WFRC?
No, that's what we're asking to have done, is to have these put on their plan.
Sherry, can I just clarify this? I'm a little confused. Is all of this information just for bikes and trails?
Yes.
So it's not like any other road improvements. It's right. just road improvements for people who are riding bikes or running or walking, yes. actively transporting. Okay, that makes sense. Thank
yes.
you.
So we have other projects on the RTP that are road projects. These would be in addition to those. So as road projects came up, and if they're in the same category, they would be done. So let's say the first one is for Orchard Drive. So if we were going to get funding for Orchard Drive reconstruction, then we would look for funding for the separated bike lane that's in our plan at the same time.
Yeah, so I probably should have explained this a little bit. So the way it works is WFRC is the regional planning agency for our area, Davis County, Weber County, Salt Lake County, parts of Morgan County, parts of Box Elder County, parts of Tooele County. They have various grants that you can apply for. I guess you call them grants. And one specific form of grant is active transportation. And I think they have, it's about $1 million a year that they'll give out. And so the reason I'm asking about phasing is that you really can't get a grant for anything unless it's in phase one. And so that's why I wanted to make sure that anything that we wanted to apply for grants for is in phase one. In the phase two and phase three stuff, you can always get them moved up. It's just a little harder to do, and you have to jump through some hoops. Have they given us feedback on what they think the phasing should be? Or have we talked to WFRC at all?
I've consulted with Wasatch Front, and they don't have an opinion on what the phasing should be. They just want to get that from us.
Okay. Well, my temptation would be to put everything in phase one, but maybe it's better to go ahead and put everything in the phase that you think you'll be in. But 30 years is a long time. Okay.
I should mention also, Mayor, I should mention also that we would be following up on a capital facilities plan update after this to include the phase one projects on the city's capital facilities plan. So then we can use impact fees to match the Wasatch Front Regional Council funds.
Okay. And those are only, we only have impact fees. You're talking about the road impact fees? So that only yes. goes Main Street, Center Street, Highway, and Highway, Main Street, Center Street, and 1100 North. Is that right?
I think there's like trail or park impact fees that we can use also.
I don't think the park impact fees can be used because it's not, well, we're updating the park master plan, right?
Yeah, I think you're right, Mayor, that if we wanted to use park impact fees, we would need to amend our plan to include that. But we can. There's nothing that would prevent us from doing that.
I kind of like to just say I hear where the mayor's coming from. Is there any reason to have phase two and phase three?
And maybe if not, just to move a few more from phase two to phase one. I mean, if we think there's a chance we'll need it in the next 10 years, they do look at it every year and you can get it moved.
Yeah, that was my question. How often do they amend or update their plan? So if we have something in phase two now, but we want it to be in phase three later because we've decided we don't have a need for it, are we stuck until 2050 or do they adjust this every year or two?
They adjust it every year and sometimes they'll adjust it multiple times a year. But so to be honest, I haven't seen many trail projects change. I just haven't seen it. I mean, road projects change. And I know there's a focus on active transportation, but I just haven't seen projects move around with active transportation, probably because they're smaller.
Mayor, I think in my, and I'll only speak for my interaction with WFRC staff, but I've asked them questions about this idea of phasing. And what they've told me is that if our priorities change and we end up having a project that we think has a likelihood of being funded, or we have a desire to fund it and a way to fund it, that they're willing to move those projects around, recommend to their count to the regional council to move those projects around. And they seem to be able to, within these phases, they seem to be able to delay a project a year or two to accommodate projects that are ready. And that's at least what they've told us. And so.
Yeah, and that might be true as I've looked at it and seen things come through. But you said something key. If you can fund it, then they will move something from phase two to phase one or phase three to phase one if you have funding for it.
That's right.
But if you're applying for the grants and going through the active transportation funds, then you really have to be in phase one to apply for those. And it is a rolling plan. Again, this will be for the plan 2021 through 2026. Is the funding for the next 5 years is really what they're looking at. You can be at phase one and not be funded. Anyway, I guess that's just my thought. If there's anything in phase two that we think we might want to move up to phase one, just because.
Yeah, I think, I think we could.
What is the Eagle Ridge Drive North City boundary to West Montclair Boatman boundary?
That's a side path. So much like how Bountiful Boulevard has that side path like by the temple, or our Eagle Point Drive side path. We have like an asphalt path that's a little wider than a traditional sidewalk.
But we don't kind have of a continuation. We don't of that. Have wide right away for that really, do we?
We do at the golf course.
Okay. Well, there's already one by the golf course for the most part.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of these projects don't have right of way.
Well, maybe these are okay. I mean, I don't know what everybody thinks. And you can push to get them changed every year. And they are 10-year plans, so.
Yeah. I could see the Main Street Highway 89 to 100 to 1100 North happening sooner rather than later.
Yeah, because that is something that we're looking at doing right now, isn't it? Do we have funds for that right now?
We don't have the funds for the bike lane, but we are working. We are doing some work on segments of Main Street. Yes.
So that might be a grant that we apply for right now and see if we can get funding for it.
Sure. No, that I think that is a good project to move up.
Okay. So maybe we move that up and see if we can get funding for it while we're doing the road. Sure seems like it's better to do it now than later.
Yeah.
Good catch.
Okay. Well, I've probably taken up too much time. Any other questions or comments, or is there a motion to approve this?
Mayor, I've got the motion here. I move the City Council adopt Resolution 2020-27R requesting that Wasatch Front Regional Council update their regional transportation plan to include the city's active transportation plan facilities with the following findings. One, the city adopt an active transportation plan on January 21st of 2020 in an effort to improve the active transportation in South Davis County and to create safe alternate transportation methods. And two, the Wasatch Front Regional Council is prepared to update their regional transportation plan. And three, including the city's active transportation facilities on the regional transportation plan will create opportunities to fund the construction of said facilities. And I guess I'd amend it to move Main Street Highway 89 to 1100 North bike lane into phase one.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Is that Stan? So motion by Brian Horrocks, seconded by Stan Porter. All in favor, Natalie?
Aye.
Brian?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Stan?
Aye.
So that motion passed unanimously.
Mayor, can I just make one comment quickly?
Yes.
I just wanted to give a kudos to the North Salt Lake City Council. If you remember, we did that South Davis Active Transportation Plan jointly with Bountiful and Centerville. And neither of those cities have even got the active transportation plan passed, let alone got it onto the RTP. So you guys are way ahead of the game.
Well, you know, they try. We do.
So. A lot of that is because of your hard work, Allie. Thank you so much.
Yes, good job, Allie.
I think it's more reflection of you, Allie, and staff. So, okay. The next item on the agenda is approval of the minutes. Any comments on those? I think I had some. Don't know where they went. Online. Page 59 of the packet, it's line 329. The city didn't receive the master plan. I received it because I'm on the steering committee. And so if we can just take out the words, the city had received. And just say, Mayor Harvey reported that a draft of the recreation's master plan showed a new facility on the west side. And then we have everybody on the line and David here. And we had that discussion in the manager's report about talking with individuals or having individuals approach the council and basically discuss projects. And I just I want to make sure I don't understand, but I wanted to clarify that there's really nothing illegal or even immoral about meeting with people about their concerns. That would be including developments. It's we should only avoid potential quid pro quo situations. Is that right?
That's Mayor, that's my opinion. This is David, of course. If a constituent or somebody calls you up and wants to discuss something that's before the thing, there's nothing in my mind illegal about you discussing with them, gathering information. It would be inappropriate for council members to get together outside the meeting to deliberate or discuss. But the question was, if someone calls you up and says, I want to talk about this thing, there's no legal reason in my mind for you to say, I can't talk to you.
And so that was my understanding, and I just like it if it were a little bit clearer in there. And I don't know if it's in David's words or a comment from me, but I think we just should clarify that there's really nothing illegal or immoral meeting with people if you're a council member. And I didn't quite get the feeling as I read through those minutes. So I don't know what changes I would make to that, other than in my comments, you could maybe say that, because I think that was basically what I was saying, is that I didn't think there was a problem discussing things with outside parties.
I think we can add that, Mayor, a sentence okay. To the effect.
Are there any other comments on the minutes? There was, on that same, was that a different motion? And I can't remember, Stan probably caught it, but it was on approval of the plan, amendment to the plan across the street. Stan abstained from that. Oh, I guess I see that there now, okay. All right, it's in there, sorry, I missed it. Okay, that's the only comments I had. Any other comments on the motion, or is there a motion to approve them?
I'll make a motion, Mayor, to approve the minutes from August 18th as we've discussed and amended.
Okay. Motion by Stan Porter. Is there a second?
I'll second, Mayor.
Second by Brian Horrocks. We'll just do all in favor, say aye.
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 So that was unanimous. The next item on the agenda is action items. The only comment I have is probably need to start knocking some of these off. Some have been on for a while and probably taken care of. So we could shorten the list and that would be helpful. Any other comments on the action items? If not, the next item on the agenda is council reports. Natalie, let's start with you.
I wanted to just report again that the Youth City Council's up and going. The Tobins are fabulous leaders. I'm excited about our new mayor and city manager. They're going to begin by meeting twice a month outdoors with masks and see if that's, you know, how things play out with the pandemic in the next few months. But today there were 18 youth at the meeting that they held at Hatch Park. So I think that's exciting and they're doing a wonderful job.
Excellent, thanks Natalie. Lisa?
Yeah, can you hear me or do I, can you
I
hear
can
me?
Hear you.
Okay. Yep. I did have an opportunity to visit with Kenny Akers, who is a kind of a fitness person out in Foxborough, and ask if he wanted to be on the Parks, Arts, Trails Recreation Board. And he was thrilled to do that. If this is appropriate now to bring it up, I don't know if it's an agenda item where you make a nomination, but I'd like to nominate him. I wanted him to check with his family. He's got a young family with kids that would like to get involved as well.
Okay, It's not on the agenda. I'm assuming it needs to be. David, you can maybe chime in so we can do that next time. Or can we do it this time?
Well, we typically we've, I know you didn't ask me, you asked David, but typically we've appointed people after putting an item on the agenda. I think if David says you can do it right now, then we could probably do it. You have to unmute though, David.
You shouldn't do it without it being an agenda item.
Okay. So we'll do that next time if that's okay, Lisa. So thank you.
That's fine.
Okay, Brian?
I guess I'd like to report now that it's not illegal or immoral. I did take a phone call from the Salt Lake Board of Realtors. We discussed the annexation project. They shared some of the frustrations that the property owners are experiencing out there with several of their attempts to do things out there have been blocked. And we discussed it in some length. And then a few days later, I was participating in Mayor Wilson's golf tournament and talked to her about it. And she was not in favor of the annexation, but doesn't get to vote about it. Felt like her council was doing it kind of just to stick it to the Salt Lake City people. But anyway, it's kind of going to be an interesting next few months as we go through that. Don't have anything to report on the Gulf Committee or mosquito abatement at this time.
I did get a phone call from, I think it was the Deseret News, but I didn't see an article on it. Did anybody else? I basically told them that we haven't really started looking at it. When we get the data, we'll make a decision. So, okay, Stan?
I don't know if I really have anything to report other than that we did have some people run down the river the other day and make sure it wasn't blocked. We had some reports earlier that the Jordan River might be blocked for activity, but I got a report yesterday that no, they've run the river. It's got some trees and not as clean as it has been in the past just because nobody's been able to get down there and clean it, but that it's not blocked. So we're planning going forward with the activity on the 12th of this month.
Okay, super.
So anybody that wants to go canoeing on the 12th, be down there.
Yeah, I think I'm out of town, so.
Okay.
On my report, Congressman Chris Stewart came and visited the police department yesterday, which was nice of him. He's very supportive of our officers. And we sat down and had a discussion with him. They told some of their concerns, and he listened to those. And anyway, it was a good meeting. And that's probably all I have. With that, I'll turn the time over to David. Do you have anything for us?
No. I don't.
And I didn't chime in the other day when everybody was giving you kudos at the league board. But anyway, I appreciate the work that you've done there. I didn't think you'd want to drag that meeting out any longer than it was dragging. But anyway, I want you to know I appreciate you, even though I didn't chime in then.
Well, I noted that you didn't say anything and marked it down to just being that you were tired of me.
Well... You know, you always tell me if I don't have anything to say, I should keep shut up. And so I didn't know that I could really add much to what the nice things they were saying about you. So, Ken, city manager's report.
Yeah, we can take that one off. Sorry, Sherry, that's from the last meeting and I definitely don't want to go through that again. We had a visit, some of us had a visit to the Wasatch Integrated Waste Site.
How was that?
Brian, Natalie, Stan, and I went. It was fantastic. It was really amazing.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just amazing. And so the reason I brought it up is because if those of you who couldn't attend want to go, we have a standing invitation to go again. So just let us know and we can make that arrangement anytime that you want to go. During this meeting, I sent to the city council a report that I received from Dal Wayman on the sewer district. This is a report that really originated from an assignment the council gave me, which was to ask Dal what the sewer district's response to the Jacobs technical odor analysis was going to be. And so what you see in his memo is really a list of things that they have looked at, things that they've done, and things that they are going to do. And so there's if you read through it at the very end, they're gonna do another study on, they're gonna get another consultant to do a study on the disbursement of odors and air disbursement. But I just wanted to mention to you that I sent that to you during the meeting and didn't put much explanation on it.
I should mention that I went over and met with Dal over at the plant yesterday. The two short-term things that they're looking at, they think they have a problem with the biosolids and they're getting quotes to do something there. The trickling filter, they think they had some type of emission again from somebody in the industrial park that killed bugs in the trickling filter. But they will be filling wood chips into that, so that should help a little bit there too. So they do have two short-term items on the plan that they're looking at.
The last thing I was going to mention is just that some of you may have seen on Facebook that we had a little vandalism in the street on Foxborough Drive, and so we're going to get that cleaned up, and I just wanted the council to know.
What was it?
It's somebody spray painted BLM in the street and the word vote. So in spray paint. So, you know, we clean up all the vandalism that we find, and I thought it was a reasonable position to take that we would clean it up again. I only mentioned it because it's a little bit high profile. It's getting attention on social media, but not much. And so I just wanted to let you know that we're going to clean it up. It'll be cleaned up by Thursday. We have a crew coming in to paint it.
Okay.
That's all I had.
Do we have a need for a closed session?
No, we don't.
All right. Ryan's not here. Is there somebody willing to make his usual motion?
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
All right. All in favor say aye.
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 All right. Thank you all. I appreciate all you do, and it's a little bit difficult times. I look forward to when we get together sometime safely. So, all right. We'll talk to you all later. Bye.